You've tuned into 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and you know you can listen asynchronously to this program. Just, well, Google my name, Hugh Cruzell, K-R-U-Z-E-L, and the word, well, podcast, and you know, Spotify has hundreds and hundreds of episodes. You might be listening as well, synchronously, to terrestrial radio, 96.7 on your FM dial. Today's topic is, well, Sherlock Holmes. Well, indirectly anyways, because of course we can't say that he was a fictional character, inspired, imagined by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Where are we today? Jesse, tell us.
So we are in the Arthur Conan Doyle Collection, which is located in the Marilyn and Charles Bailey Special Collection Center at the Toronto Reference Library.
The Toronto Reference Library.
Yes.
Now that's on Yonge Street.
It is, yes. Yonge Street, Yonge and Bloor intersection. Mm-hmm. Well, one block north on Yonge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, as a kid, when I was growing up, I think I wrote Yonge as we would normally write it, but mm-hmm. It's Yonge almost, isn't it?
It is, yes. And yeah. I will add that often I find myself writing Holmes with an L instead of your usual H-O-M-E-S.
Oh, so interesting. Because you're immersed in this.
Because of my context, yes.
Yes, and you are a specialist, it says on your card, for this collection and the larger collection, right?
So my role here is services specialist, that's my title, but in other words, I'm curator of the Arthur Conan Doyle collection.
Wow, so we need to bow down to you.
No.
Yes.
But so my responsibility is that collection, and yeah, just maintaining.
How on earth would somebody even know about a job like this and say, we're in another room adjacent to... I guess you would call this a learning space, is that what?
We call it the presentation room, kind of serves as a room for donors to meet and for us to have kind of meetings such as this, just more in a private space than in our...
Donors, so some of these books in these collections are valuable.
Yes, many. Yes.
Okay, I have to ask the question, because I know there's a school of librarianship at the University of Western Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Did you attend such a thing in your education?
I did. Actually, I attended at the University of Toronto. They also have a program there.
Well, because they have the Fisher Rare Book Collection.
They do, yes. So, I attended at the iSchool and got my Master's of Information Sciences. So,
that's really the words we use today. Mm-hmm. We don't say librarian anymore, do we?
No. Because you can specialize in different areas, such as librarian, archivist, maybe museum studies, things like that. It can kind of lend itself to different areas.
You probably do all of those things.
I do. I work in a very unique department at the Toronto Reference Library that allows me to kind of dabble in all of those
dabble.
Things.
Sherlock Holmes would love you using that word.
Yes.
Do you do beekeeping as well?
No, I do not.
But you know
maybe,
he had a fascination.
Maybe when I retire.
Well, that was what he did when he retired.
Yes.
That's too funny, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you wear a deerstalker home and to work in the morning? Do you have a deerstalker? I have a feeling you might.
I do not. But I have access to so many in the collection, so I could consider wearing one around the library on the regular.
Oh, that would be marvelous. In fact, one has just arrived here on this table.
Thank you, yes.
I don't know if that's Harris Tweed, but it's something like that, isn't it?
I don't know. You might know better than I do.
Well, let's have a look at the label inside. Does it say who it's from? It's from, Fallsworth?
Fallsworth.
Full, of course, it's pure new wool, made in Britain, and it is, it does say Sherlock, doesn't it? It says Sherlock Holmes' name,
Oh, right there. I missed that, yes. It's got a name tag in there.
I don't know if it really was his or not,
no,
but anyways. You have I have to ask, I see your name printed. How do you pronounce your last name?
Amalo.
How long have you been here, Jesse?
So I've been working for Toronto Public Library for over 20 years, yes.
Wow!
I've been in this department, Special Collections, for about 10 years. and I've been working with the Conan Doyle collection for 6 years now.
Yes. I have a feeling this is your career.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes, I believe it is.
Are there other collections like this across Canada, around the world?
So specifically Sherlock Holmes, Conan Doyle. Yes, there are two. So there's one at the University of Minnesota. That's the Sherlock Holmes collection. And there's also one in, I hope I'm saying this right, Portsmouth, England. Mm-hmm. There's an Arthur Conan Doyle collection here. Conan Doyle had a medical practice there.
Yes, he did. Time, so. He was a practicing doctor.
Yes. Mm. So those are kind of the two other major collections. However, we like to stress that we also focus on Conan Doyle's life and works.
Yes, because he did other things.
Yes, yes. So that we have a lot of strength in that those areas also.
We're going to, in a little while, transfer over actually into the collection. Mm-hmm. But you brought a few things on a cart that I think you put these out specifically to talk about. So we must go there.
Sure, we can do that.
Well, shall I walk over with you?
Sure, sounds good.
Now, this is on the fifth floor of the reference library, and to get here, I mean, there's no special, well, there are doors, like do you maintain the humidity and things in this area differently than the rest of the building?
Yes, so in special collections, things are temperature controlled.
Moisture controlled.
Yes, and there's also lighting, lighting in certain places. We'll turn off lights when people aren't in the room, certain spaces.
The covers, bindings?
Yes.
The bindings that face out. Now, the spine, the proper word is spine. Some of your material is actually in boxes.
Yes.
So that it doesn't decay.
Yes, for that purpose, either possibly the pages are quite fragile now, so that's one
thing. Do we
need
white gloves?
We don't, actually. We do ask that gloves be worn for photographs, but in the case of books, the research shows that it's actually better on the book if you're not wearing gloves because you have a better, you're better able to handle the pages.
Right.
When you have loose gloves on, things like that, you don't grip so well and tears. Right.
We don't want any tears.
No, don't want any tears. So. Right.
So these are, this feels, as you open these, like these are gems, jewels?
Yes. So I'm starting with first editions here.
Ah, so that's a key thing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. So that's definitely a highlight of our collection, and we have some really wonderful first editions. I have pulled out Sherlock Holmes first editions. As mentioned, Conan Doyle did write many, many other things in his lifetime, but he wrote 60 Sherlock Holmes stories and 4 novels. So I have 3 of the 4 novels here.
Hound of the Baskervilles, perhaps?
Hound of the Baskervilles is here.
First edition?
Yes, although I'm going to start actually with the first ever for Sherlock Holmes story.
A Case of the Speckled Band.
No. A Study in Scarlet.
Of course.
A Study in Scarlet.
And that's a paper-bound.
Yes.
Because it originally was done in serial format, wasn't it?
Not this one. So most of Conan Doyle's stories were published in the Strand magazine, and they were serialized. However, the first few, he was just looking to get published. So the first one in particular, A Study in Scarlet, wound up being published in this Christmas periodical called Beaton's Christmas Annual. Mm. So it's from 1887. It's very rare. There are maybe only a dozen still with the cover on, known copies. So we're very fortunate.
I had to give that little whistle because that it is spectacular the way it's even, it's in great condition. I mean, if it was mine, it would have underlining and you know, the pages would be dogged. This one's a pictorial version too.
Yes, it's got some illustrations in here. And I will add to your note about condition, we do have a preservation department. We're lucky to have one at the Trillium Reference Library, and they have actually tended to little wear and tear here and there. And yeah, they do some really
because the glues
work.
Fall apart sometimes.
Yes,
this one's quite good. This one's very good.
Very good condition. Yes,
but it's got advertising in it too, which is hilarious.
It does. Yes, lots of people like it to look at the advertising too of the time because 1887.
Yes, so. We still allowed. Yeah. Laudanum and things like that, as we know, Sherlock Holmes was not he perhaps did use cocaine and other things, didn't he?
He did, yes, he sure did. But I'll also just add, it's this particular edition is very rare because people didn't really hang on to it.
It was just paper
first Sherlock Holmes story. Conan Doyle wasn't.
Who's an unknown quantity, yeah.
This compares to some, kind of just a Christmas magazine, really. So I've heard it be referred to as a fire starter. So many people would throw it in the fire after to get the fire going. Very, very rare item for us.
Is that quality paper? No, that's not even quality. That's more like.
No, it's very. It's cheap paper. Yes,
I don't think
I've heard it be referred to as
I don't think,
cheap fiction.
Pulp fiction. But it's in very good shape considering its age.
I think it has had some maintenance over the years since my.
I can see there's binding
my
there,
time
but
that,
Fry's
yes.
Cocoa. Oh yes, I see that. Oh, it's got somebody's name in the front.
Here.
Yes.
No, I think that's just
an accession number?
That's a conservation
number.
Note.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yes. Well, thank you for showing us that particular thing. Now, these boxes are designed for the individual pieces. Are these built here or are they from a catalog that you can?
Some are. And
I love the little ribbons.
Yeah.
Too.
Some are and some come that way. I don't know exactly. I guess maybe the previous owners had it boxed, or possibly the vendors.
Yeah.
This was a library issue.
Yes, because it's got the Dewey Decimal number on the backside
on the
spine.
The actual spine. But something like this, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the vendors.
I'm going to ask that question. Do you have resources to buy things that are on the market?
I do, yes.
Ooh, what's the... Oh, there it is.
Yes.
The Hound of the Baskervilles. In a... Well, that's not a leather binding. That's a fabric binding of some sort, but certainly much more... I love the gold.
Yes, it's got some beautiful gold embellishments there. So this one's from 1902, and I think a lot of collectors, if they're going to start a Sherlock Holmes collection,
they begin here.
They would probably begin here just because The Hound is such a popular story and a lot of people's favorites.
Yes.
So that's really beautiful.
Read this?
I've read this, yes.
Is that part of your job, too, to become familiar with the content of
The
books and the contents of the collection as well?
Definitely. I mean, making suggestions or helping people find what they're looking for is...
Better be on top
so
of it.
So important. So, yeah.
I love the illustration. You have a big box over there. What is that? What is that?
On that note, you mentioned the illustration, so I'll show you something.
Oh, my goodness. Look at this.
So, this.
Jesse, you've really gone to great depths to prepare for this.
Okay, so. Sidney Paget was the illustrator for, I think I just learned it was about 38 of the Sherlock Holmes stories, because he did pass away before they were finished, and first few, but I think he started with the skin on the
Oh my goodness.
So we do have an original Sidney Paget illustration from The Adventure of the Cardboard Box. Yeah.
They're great titles, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And along those lines, just last year, I purchased a letter because another thing we have here are manuscripts in Conan Doyle's writing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have almost 200 letters written by him to various people. We have some short stories, some plays, some articles, and that sort of thing. We don't have a Sherlock Holmes manuscript, so if anyone out there has
Oh, yeah,
like
definitely.
To donate.
There are things in people's homes, and of course, as older relatives pass away, you come across things.
Yes, we are very grateful for donations.
And
what have you got here?
So this is there are a few documents.
Yes.
Would we call those documents or?
Yes, I would think so.
Oh my
so
goodness, this, that's his writing?
This is a letter in his writing, and it's actually to Sydney Paget.
No kidding.
So up until last year, we didn't have a letter to Sydney yet, but we were able to get one, and it just acknowledges the receipt of a picture, I guess, that Conan Doyle had purchased. So he says, the picture has arrived and is much admired. Our arrangement was 50 guineas, but I want a note from you as to the expenses of frame, carriage, and incidentals of all sorts. Yours very truly, Arthur Conan Doyle.
From Undershaw, Hindshead, Hazelmere.
Yes.
My goodness. We don't have houses like that. We don't say that anymore.
No,
like in Toronto, we just go, 1864,
yeah.
Young Street, big
yeah.
deal, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we used to have houses in England, do have names.
Yeah, names like that. So... just a nice combination to see the two, an original Sydney Paget illustration, which appeared in the Strand magazine, along with the Sherlock Holmes story.
Well, this firmed our impression of who Watson was. We can see his face. We can see Holmes with his very long, thin, and of course, mm-hmm. he's laying on a chaise
mm-hmm.
and being very, I guess it's a... Would we call that a gentleman's coat? More like a robe. But he's still very well dressed underneath it, and he's got shiny shoes.
Mm-hmm.
The newspaper all scattered on the ground.
And the title here is "I Fell into a Brown Study."
Yes, but I think it was his depression as well.
Yes. So.
Wow, that's amazing. And what are these two things here? Three things actually. I'm intrigued.
So. Actually, here is just, I had just pulled this out to show the extent of letters we have. So this is an entire box of letters to Greenhouse Smith from Conan Doyle. And Greenhouse Smith was the editor of the Strand magazine. So if someone's looking to research...
How? The mechanics of writing.
Yes, how, things were getting published and how they would negotiate things and that
the
sort
price.
Of thing.
The price.
Yes, and these letters do touch upon the return of Sherlock Holmes and the Hound, kind of around mm-hmm. that era. So there is mention of Sherlock Holmes stories in there and mm-hmm. whatnot. So it's one of our special research.
It says photos.
Yes, so we do have photographs in the collection. So Conan Doyle later in life became one of a very large supporter of spiritualism.
Yes.
So that's the ability to communicate with the dead. And it's my understanding that a lot of people at that time got involved because they had lost
loved ones
in First World War.
Or even from the Spanish flu.
Oh, yes, yes. So, they were looking for... ways to communicate by any means. And so Conan Doyle was actually huge, huge promoter of this. He wrote about it. He had a bookshop in London, bookshop museum. He would seek out mediums. He just wanted this to be
real.
So
what have we got here?
So we have spirit photos. So these are actual photos produced by Conan Doyle. And in it, they...
Oh, phantasms. Isn't that the proper word for it?
Is that? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. So he's got something, an energy field, I guess you could call it, that's showing up in some of these images.
Yes, yes. Spirit photos intended to capture spirits on film. So we have images of Doyle taken by him that capture members of his family that have passed, such as his son Kingsley.
Oh, I see that.
He says is in that one. And I believe this one's a seance photo there. So, that was something Conan Doyle was involved in. Yeah.
Well, I might be a bit skeptical about that.
A little bit, but
at the time, it might have been very, very germane to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to take a quick station identifier here. This is CKLU 96.7, or just the podcast, QOL, Quality of Life. And Jesse and I are going to walk over to the actual collection and spend a few minutes there so that we can understand the scope of this collection. Here we go. We're just entering the, it looks like a private library. It's wood, it's got wooden floors, it's got a tapis, a Persian rug, and it's got a nice, is that a Windsor chair? We call that a Windsor chair? It's smaller than a Windsor chair. It doesn't have the big...
Sure.
But somebody's done it in beads,
yes,
which is
in
fascinating.
Yes.
Now, you do have a pamphlet that people could look at.
We do have a pamphlet that people can take away.
The Arthur Conan Doyle Collection.
The history of the collection, some of our highlights and things like that. So,
And a fireplace? Well, a
fake
fireplace.
Yes, yes.
A pipe. A statue of Conan Doyle, a photo of him.
Photos. We have reproductions of original artwork.
There's that one, yes.
Yeah. We have some kind of memorabilia and artifacts around the room. Here in particular, we have a rock from the basin of the Reckenbacher Falls.
Oh, Reckenbacher Falls. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Of course, you know what happened there.
Yes.
Yes.
Sherlock and Moriarty.
Yes.
Their
little, oh my goodness, there's a Persian slipper with some, is there tobacco in the end?
Should be. And this is an actual smoke bellow for the fireplace that belonged to Arthur Conan Doyle.
Okay, so we have to go back in time. Somebody started this and or had an idea and then somebody ran with it? How did it work? I see the is it Goldfarb's, the family?
Oh, so...
revitalized it.
Yes, so Clifford Goldfarb, he's the president of our friends group. Yes.
There's a friends group?
There's a friends
group. Friends of Sherlock Holmes or friends of
Conan? Friends of the Arthur Conan Doyle
collection.
And they're a wonderful group of friends who help us kind of promote the collection.
Gather in...
They have events here. They help us to kind of purchase items that are beyond our means to purchase. So they're a really wonderful group. So that
we're closely with. To get the sense of this, some of these things have like real value. Like they go to auction, they go for bidding, and you say, we would like to have that?
Yes, yes, in some cases. I will say so.
So it's not all just by donation.
No. It's
well, I did ask you about whether you had a fund budget to buy things.
Yeah.
You said yes, and I'm like, but we're not talking $10 or $100. Let's not go there. Okay. You're laughing, so I'm like way off.
It's a significant amount, yes. We're very fortunate.
She's not going
to
reveal it to us out there in radio land, but anyways.
But, yeah, so actually, the collection started about 50 years ago, and in the early years, the library was able to make some really amazing purchases.
Look, mainly, in the space.
Yes, mainly from private collectors buying up entire private collections. So we obtained so many wonderful items, Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes, in the very early years of the collection. So we've just been building on that every year.
And these are not, I mean, you said 60 plus the four novels. There's how many books here? And
there's over 15,000 books, and there's over 25,000 items in total. Yeah.
These are not, they make mention of Sherlock Holmes, or they're related to sleuthing or policing or or crime, or because I mean, I'm looking at the spines of some of them. They're quite beyond the Conan Doyle stories or beyond. There's stories here, or there are books about all kinds of things.
Yeah. So just to give you an overview, we have books, obviously, first editions, criticisms, parodies.
Oh, parodies, yes.
Parodies are huge. So there's tremendous amount of authors writing their own, versions of the Sherlock Holmes stories. Or using
what about videography? Characters. Do you have that in your collection as well?
We do, yes.
I mean, parodies, there was the 99% solution or whatever. And the most recent Sherlock Holmes was, I suppose, well done. I like the one before that, but anyways. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we collect the adaptations, and we collect books about the adaptations. And
are those stored in a separate area?
They are, yes, actually. Mm-hmm. So we do have a closed stacks area.
So also. What's the criteria that says this book must be in this room, and You know, do people just look in and go like, what is this?
Yes, all the time, all the time. Criteria? So...
Are these for borrowing, may I ask?
No, they're not.
No, it's, you use them here.
You do have to look at them.
Yeah, here, sorry, I stopped you there for a second.
No,
the criteria.
No. So it follows the Dewey Decimal System in terms of organization, and Conan Doyle happens to be an author who has so many aspects of his life touched by so many different subjects. So we actually have almost a complete run of all the Dewey numbers that relate to Conan Doyle.
I can't show people, of course, out in Radio Land. You can't see this, but there's one called Forensic Geology here. There's another. I mean, there are books here that I'm like, oh, yeah, I see the connection to these. I really do. And in an average person's life, most average, I don't know, average people, they make reference to Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, there's tons of references to Sherlock Holmes.
But there's a whole book on the Deerstalker.
Yes, so all of the books here have been cataloged. And if it's not obvious why it's here at first hand, our cataloging record will tell us. But for the most part, you can kind of get a sense of why it's here.
Just by reading the spine.
Just by reading the spine. If it relates to Doyle, Sherlock Holmes...
And even the people who played him. Basil Rathbone.
Yeah, all the actors who played him.
The films of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
The films of Christopher Lee. The man who became Sherlock Holmes. This is, you know, this program is about quality of life.
Right.
If you're interested in Sherlock Holmes or crime or whatever, you would want to come here.
Definitely, yes. Definitely. We would encourage you to come here. And you can even give us a heads up if you're looking for something in particular or doing a certain type of research. We can always, you know, get items set aside for your visit.
Well, especially if you're coming from outside Toronto.
Yes, we would encourage that, actually. Just,
The Oxford Book of Gothic Tales. Oh, yeah, that would
oh,
definitely
yes,
be part
yeah,
of it.
That would be the
handle. I'm really quite amazed.
So over here we have many of the different... pastiches, we call them, so they're the imitation stories.
Oh, yes.
We got lots of authors writing their own take on Sherlock Holmes.
There are people still writing about pretending, well, whatever, they're homages in many cases.
Whoa, and we collect them all, old and new. It's got a spot here in the collection. So.
Well, I'm going to encourage the audience out there, if you're interested in Sherlock Holmes, or just interested in perhaps even the period that was represented by that sort of late Victorian, early Edwardian, come here to the Toronto Reference Library. Jessie.
Yes.
Amalo.
Yes.
You are the specialist here.
Yes.
20 plus years. Well, in this collection.
Working with this collection, about 6 years, yeah.
I have a feeling that people are going to listen to this and come here. You've got work for yourself for the rest decades of your working life.
Wonderful. And I'll just say, so the Arthur Conan Doyle room is open during library
regular
hours.
Yes.
And it's open for browsing, so you don't have to book an appointment to come in. Around.
It's marvelous.
As mentioned, if you have specific research, we would encourage you to get in contact with us earlier.
Toronto Public Library. I'm sure there's a button that says collections.
Yes, on
there
the
is.
Website.
I know it. I know it. Well, folks, you've been listening to QOL on CKLU 96.7. This is Hugh Cruzell, and you can, listen to Synchronous Radio 96.7 CKLU. Or you can go to podcasts, and I'd encourage that to listen anytime you want. Load it up before you go on a trip, before you get on a plane. Bye for now, folks.